Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus, for this is true revival. Love is all they need, everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and with me today I have Dr. Mark Sharona. Mark, it's wonderful to have you with us on today's program, and we have an interesting subject to speak about. In fact, I don't hear this subject being preached often, because I think oftentimes, you know, it's the good news of the gospel, so let's talk about blessing, and let's talk about soaring up into the heavens, and, you know, let's talk about being in the light as He is in the light, and all those things are really important. But there's something else that every believer goes through that we need to embrace when we're going through to get the most out of it. And it's when we go through those dark valleys. It's when we go through those difficult times. It's when we face suffering. What do we do with that? How do we embrace it? So today, we're going to open up that subject, which you are a master at because you've walked through so much of it yourself, but also you've expounded so beautifully on the subject over the years. But what do we do when we're in that transition? What do we do when we're in that dark place that we want the treasures, but we can't see them yet?
Oh, that's, you know, Patricia, one of the things that I think most people wrestle with is that, I put it this way, if I saw the bus coming, I'd have gotten out of the way.
Right.
And so transition oftentimes has signals that come prior to that, but because we don't recognize the signals, when we get into that in-between place, what I call the nowhere in between two somewheres, it takes us by surprise because we're not in a place where the familiar stuff is working anymore. We get to a place where we don't realize we've outgrown a season, and we're going to be prepared for another season.
Right.
But in the change of seasons, it's a matter really of moving through that nowhere zone that's like limbo.
Right.
And discovering what's there for us.
And those are the most difficult, you know, like when the grace is lifted. Because, I mean, when you're under grace, everything's so easy, right? So it's like tiptoe through the tulips. Here we go. We're having a great time. God is all over the place. Everything's coming up roses. And then all of a sudden, that grace isn't there. Where is it? Where is it gone? We have promises, oftentimes prophetic promises, to go into the new, but we're not there yet. So what do we do in this season?
Yeah, and in that season, you lose all sense of timing and direction and flow. So you're in this place of profound uncertainty where you can say it's not working anymore. And so what you have to do first and foremost is acknowledge that you're in that place. I think one of the, you know, it's kind of like when Paul says that we know that all things work together for our good and for His glory. Mm-hmm. I can read that, but until I acknowledge that, I won't be able to see it. And when you're in that in-between season,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Walter Brueggemann that took the verse in Job where Job says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's not for us to choose. I always want to be in the Lord gives, because there are seasons where what God gave no longer have the ability to sustain us for where mm-hmm. He's taking us. And so He's got to take away a portion of what He gave so that we're empty-handed again.
Mm-hmm.
But the empty-handed means you're not ready to have your hands filled again. But you got to go through the empty-handed phase. And I think that until you acknowledge mm-hmm. that you're there, you can't move forward.
Do you think, Mark, that you know, a lot of these transitions are designed by God to just bring us back again into total dependency? I think of Israel coming out of Egypt, going into their promised land. So they had the promise. They had the prophetic promise. They weren't in Egypt anymore, and everything was different. So they didn't know how to live in the different. So they're groping for things that were familiar, like
right.
the leeks, the garlic,
leeks and
stuff.
Garlic.
But really, all they needed to recognize was God Himself, who was their bread every day, who was their water to drink every day. And He wanted to introduce Himself to them as the one who is all they needed.
Yeah, and perfect example of transition between Egypt and the Promised Land is the desert experience, this wilderness. And He fed them manna, this thing that the best they could describe was, what is it? And I think in that in-between place, we have to feed on the what is it factor. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, it fell outside the camp. They had to go outside the camp. Wherever they moved, it always fell outside the camp. But the good news about that is that it always fell further away from where they were and closer to where they were going. So every day when they went out to get the what is it, they were always moving in a direction of their intended future.
What a great insight. I've never thought of that before.
He was getting them to move. The hunger was getting them to, you know, a man's appetite works for him and his hunger drives him on, Solomon says.
Wow, that is so cool. So in that place then, people can get to know God whenever we're in transition, because nothing else works anyways.
Mm-mm.
Nothing else works. All the, you know, all the great things that worked in the last season, they're just not there.
Right.
And so you're actually forced to meet God in a new way. And I know that some of you are actually in that season right now. You're saying, that's me. I'm in transition. And I don't, you know, I'm from nowhere to somewhere to in between, whatever. I don't even know who I am anymore. And it's okay, right?
It is okay. And you know, it's interesting. You know, in the beginning, when God created everything, when you get to Genesis 2, and it gives you the subsequent account of creation, there's no shrub, there's no tree, there's no rain, there's no man. All there is dirt. And God comes down from heaven and gets His hands dirty and moisturizes the dirt, our humanness. And when we're in transition, we have to know how to keep ourselves moisturized.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just said it, I just thought about, you know, when I first came to know the Lord, I'm a musician. I studied 26 years piano. Floyd Kramer was like a great country western piano player, but he did a whole series of songs that were all gospel tunes. And when I was going through a hard time, no matter what, I mean, if a worship song wouldn't bring me into the moisturizing place where my clay wouldn't get brittle, I'd put on Floyd Kramer, and my clay would get moist.
Wow.
And there came a moment where Floyd Kramer wasn't anointed to moisten my clay.
Right.
And I felt radically disoriented, because it was the song that spoke to my soul that would always get me back. But all of a sudden, it was as if the anointing lifted from listening to Floyd Kramer, which moisturized my clay, to if I don't get moisture, my clay's going to get brittle in the desert, and I can't afford that. I mean, here we are. We're in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I love Arizona. I love the visual. I love the experience. But it's a very dry place.
Right.
And dust storms are common.
Right.
Well, you've got to know how to keep the clay moist in transition.
Right.
And all of us, if we were to go right now to the Galleria or to one of the malls, and we were to go into, you know, the makeup area where they have moisturizer, for every person that goes, they prefer a different kind of moisturizer. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is that He knows what'll keep your clay moisturized and what'll keep my clay moisturized, and it's suited to how He built us. So one of the things we have to master in that in-between place is how to keep our clay moist.
You know, it's interesting what you were saying, even about the song that would minister to you in a season, but not for the next season. It's like, I think that all of us find inside of ourselves certain things or certain songs, and it's important to identify those.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
Because there's some songs you can just sing, and there's other songs that you sing.
Right.
You know, it just plays. Everything in your heart is in tune, in touch, embracing. And that really helps even to identify, like if we're in a worship service and there's something that just comes
deeply
on you,
resonates.
Is to get a hold of that, because could be
it's a rhema.
Your key for that season.
Oh, yeah, no question. And it can sustain you. I mean, Elijah, in his in-between place, was sustained by those bread cakes for 40 days.
Right.
So transition is, you know, 40 is always a number for transition. And it's in those desert seasons that we've got to know, what is it that's lifing me? Because mm-hmm. God's in the lifing business. And Sometimes he's got to take you away from every conventional support system to reduce you to wanting nothing but life.
Right. And nothing but him.
Right, his life. Which
you know,
is, yeah.
And I know that for you that are watching, that there's a key for you. If you're in your dry season, there's a key to moisten the soil of your life and of your heart, things that bring you life. So find out what that is. Mark, can you share with us out of your own encounter? Because you've been going through some seasons. I mean, we all do. Mm-hmm. We all go through seasons, and there's almost like different stages to those seasons. You know, sometimes it's a shock, and then we all of a sudden realize what's happening, and then we can move into, you know, maybe receiving what's going to work or whatever. But can you give us some insights from things that you've learned by going through some of your, you know, valleys or transitional places that were confusing to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the way I break down transition is that I experience something as a crisis that immediately displaces me from everything that was familiar and in place. So the crisis brings me to a place of being displaced. And then I move into transition and I feel misplaced. And I have to keep moving forward until I feel replaced. Not removed, but replaced in a new place. And so displaced, misplaced, replaced, disoriented, misoriented, reoriented, become part of a process. So God, you talk about Egypt and the promised land. God said, I brought you into the wilderness to humble you and to show you what was in your heart and to let you know that you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that mm-hmm. proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, proceeds is the same. Is the root word is process. So in the process, we feel disoriented mm-hmm. and then we feel misoriented in order to be to come into a new orientation. And I've got to acknowledge the process.
Right.
Then I have to embrace the process. Mm-hmm. And then I have to trust the process.
One of the things that you just said that I really resonate with is that oftentimes in these transitions and difficult places that we go through or difficult circumstances, we see what we're made of. And God uses it to show us what we are made of. And that can be actually a blessing also, or it can be a call to alignment. But, you know, sometimes it surprises me in a crisis. I think, wow, I really had more solid faith than what I thought. Mm-hmm. I had more love than what I mm-hmm. even thought. Because during those transitional times, you get tested and you can actually see for yourself, because God knows all the time, but he wants you to see it so that you can enter into process.
You never know what you're made of until you're put in a situation where God tests your mettle. You know, when Paul says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove the will of God, that word prove is a scientific word that, you know, when they, like if you were to go to a jewelry store right now, if they wanted to find it, if you gave them a gold earring, if it was real, they have a little bar of metal.
Right.
And they scrape the gold, and if a certain color comes up, it's real gold.
Right.
Well, the proving had to do with lead and what kind of metal it was. And so there, in those in-between seasons, God tests your metal. He sees, but he's wanting you to discover that there are resources he's built into you and a capacity. One of the things, Patricia, that concerns me, and I think we both share a sentiment about the fact that we've watched the culture become so me-oriented mm-hmm. that it can tend to border on something far more egocentric than Christocentric.
Right.
And as a result of that, competition and comparison runs high.
Right.
And so success in that world is all based on competition. God's not as much into success as he is excellence. Excellence isn't about me being compared to somebody else.
Right.
It's about a capacity he put in me that hasn't been fully realized.
Right.
And so I'm anointed according to my capacity.
Right.
So when I go through that in-between place, he's wanting me to discover that there's a capacity he hasn't anointed yet.
Wow.
And he's wanting me to stop relying on the strengths of my former season and depend on him, because my weakness at not knowing is very attractive to him. He's attracted to my weakness, but it's in my weakness I discover my capacity, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong.
Oh, wow, that's powerful. Wow, Selah. Yeah. Let's pause and think on that one. And as we do, I want you to be introduced to a resource that will help you tremendously. And it's two teachings by Mark Sharona on the subject of treasures in transition. And it will fortify you. This teaching will fortify you and strengthen you, empower you. And there's impartation in it. And so we just want to encourage you to see the information on the screen right now and call the call center and order your set. And you'll really enjoy it. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
In this season of change and transition, the Lord is revealing hidden treasures deep within our hearts and spirits. Dr. Mark Sharona's Treasures in Transition reveals priceless prophetic insights for our future. Dare to believe. Order this 2-CD prophetic word today for only $10 plus shipping. Call 866-980-5464, television offer 313, go online at patriciaking.com, or text the word BLESS to 42828.
Mark, last night we were in a meeting and you preached a brilliant message about transition and plus, plus, plus. But the scripture reference you used was Psalm 23. And I just thought maybe I'd read it for our viewers right now because, you know, it just says so much about this message. But it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful psalm. But can you give us some insights out of that that will help our viewers going through transition?
Well, the marvelous thing is that obviously the transition is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when David opens, he's talking about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, but he's talking to us. And then at the end, he's saying, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he's talking to us again. But when you're going through the valley, you haven't got anybody to talk to. And even if they're there, you feel like you're all alone. And that's when you start talking to him directly, and you get to experience him. And so the ultimate way through the valley of transition is to keep the conversation going with the shepherd who leads you. Just realize that as a Middle Eastern shepherd, and David knew this very well as a shepherd, Middle Eastern shepherds lead from behind. We're always wanting God to be up front telling us, all I got to do is follow him. But when a shepherd leads from behind, Isaiah 30, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I don't like that because that requires I take steps
right.
And then he helps me course correct. I'd rather not have that responsibility.
Right.
I'd rather he does it and then I follow him, and he'd rather me grow up and discover how to pay attention to his still small voice.
I love that because, you know, the word of the Lord says, right in the scripture, it says that you will hear a voice from behind. Mm-hmm. And so even though that you know, we don't know where we're going, we're in a vulnerable place, it keeps our ears attentive mm-hmm. to hear from him.
And the other piece to that behind is that that's the word that is also used to describe from eternity past.
Wow.
So that God is working out his counsels that he foreordained for us. And so the voice behind us is saying, you may not think you know where you're going, but I've already ordered your steps.
Wow, I love that.
So just faith it till you make it.
And live with eternity in your focus, too, during
yes,
that time.
Ma'am.
Because,
yes, ma'am.
Because in the time realm, a lot of things won't make sense. But
right.
if you have an eternal perspective, it'll really help. Now, you mentioned last night also about the rod and the staff mm-hmm. Of Psalm 23.
The rod is a rather thick club, like a baseball bat, not like the shepherd's crook with the hook, but it was what the shepherd used, yes, to corral the sheep, but more to beat off wild animals. So that when David says, "Your rod comforts me," if anybody knows how to beat off a lion and how to beat off a bear, David understands, and whatever he's facing in his own journey, he's had to see the hand of God beat off his enemies. And so that brings comfort to him that he's not fighting alone. And then the staff has the shepherd's hook on it, because in the craggy places, on the way to the green pastures, you've got to go through mountainous regions that are very uncertain. And if a sheep would slip and fall down into a crevice, that hook, the staff would lift that sheep back up on the path so he wouldn't stumble headlong.
So in our transitions, we can be comforted, as the scripture says, is a place where we will know not only the comfort of the Lord, but also his protection. Because it's so confusing in transition.
Oh.
And, you know, you can get attacked. Sometimes you don't even know it's an attack. You just think it's a swirl, you know. I don't get this. But, you know, you can be attacked by, you know, an entity in the spirit. And God's right there to take care of it for you if you just look for him.
You know, interesting enough, Patricia, one of the things I learned in my elongated, protracted season of a valley that I went through from 2007 to almost 2011, I thought I understood the accuser, but I began to discover there are veiled accusations that are even more subtle, and God had to teach me to recognize veiled accusations.
Wow, so he would take that rod
right.
and just go after it on your behalf.
Right. Which is the word.
And you know, when we draw close to him in transition, because there's other options. There are other options for you. If you're in a transition right now, you don't have to draw close to God. I mean, you can draw close to the movie theater,
right.
the bar, the,
right.
you know, we can make our own decisions how we're going to handle transition. But when you draw close to God, when he becomes all that you want, then you'll get to understand. One of the treasures is the discernment that grows in you of even what you're just saying. Like, you know, wow, I learned the difference in there between just an accusation and a veiled accusation.
Right.
You learned that in that time of transition.
I couldn't have known that any other way.
Yeah, because you drew close to the Lord. And when we are in transition, we have the opportunity to be qualified or disqualified.
So good. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's an important piece for the believer in Christ to understand that it's a proving ground. It doesn't mean you get it by effort. It's all by grace. But it does mean God's wanting to reveal something in you and through you that he can't do any other way.
Right. And as we make the right choices with that grace leaning upon us to choose that, it's just so perfect, so awesome.
Oh.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, transitions are never easy, but they're always glorious if you just look for him in it. And we're going to be right back, but I want to just invite you to go online right now and actually order Treasures in Transition. Those two messages will just blow your mind literally, and you will be empowered to go through anything because you're going to get a hold of Jesus in the midst of all that you're going through right now, because your future is glorious. We'll be right back. Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and I have with me today Dr. Mark Sharona for part two of a message called The Treasures in Transition. So Dr. Mark Sharona, it's wonderful to have you with us.
Honored to be here.
You know, in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 3, the Lord speaks through the prophet and says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name." And so that's one of probably the greatest treasures, is to know the Lord in a greater way during those times of transition.
Yeah, and amazingly enough, not everything in the shadows is there to spook you. It's
right.
there to bless you. So there are, you know, when I was a kid, we lived in my grandmother's house, and I lived we lived on the second floor, and my bedroom window, I had two bedroom windows, but the backyard bedroom window had those old opaque shades, and we had a big elm tree in the back. And when the moonlight would hit that shade, the branches of the trees looked like bogeymen coming down to get me in the bed.
Right.
But it wasn't, and you know, and it would scare me. And then I'd look out in the morning, and it was just the branches of the trees.
Right.
And I think sometimes in the shadows, in the dark,
right,
all we see is the outline of things. And the book of Hebrews says God wants to bring us from the shadow to the substance.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything in the shadows is there to frighten us. Of the enemy certainly wants to hide in the shadows.
Right.
But somewhere standing in the shadows is Jesus, too.
And we're so protected, you know, like when we understand our covenant with him and to know he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. He's always working everything together for good. And even things that don't look like a blessing, they actually can be commanded to turn into a blessing.
Absolutely.
When we understand covenant and when we understand transitional seasons, to keep our eye on him. Like Israel going through the wilderness, they were blessed every single moment of that, although they didn't see it as a blessing. They didn't understand what God was doing. But nonetheless, he was there meeting all their needs. You know, his presence was with them. And it was actually a glorious season for them. But when you don't perceive it as a glorious season, it can make it even more difficult.
Yeah, and it's important. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. And show yourselves to be children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation.
There you go.
And Israel, in their transition, grumbled and complained. And as a result, and we talked about this in the last show, some people don't make it through transition. They died in the wilderness because instead of giving thanks, mm-hmm, and instead of honoring God for the fact they really were moving forward, their bones were bleached in the wilderness. I think it, and these things happen for them so that they don't have to happen to us.
Right.
It's not always easy to say, Father, I thank you.
Right.
I don't give thanks for all things,
but in
all things, yeah, I can give thanks. I have the power to do that, and I have
exactly
the power to choose that.
And it's powerful when you do choose that. It changes the atmosphere. Your perception is everything. You know, you can be so strengthened just by that change of attitude. Mark, let's talk about the life of Jesus Christ, because in a way, his whole life in the earth was a transition,
mm-hmm,
because he had come out of heaven and went back into heaven, and his time from entering the earth was to bring us into the fullness of promise, so
mm-hmm,
that there would be this established eternal covenant. So in a way, his whole life was in transition. He went through every dark thing that you could imagine. I mean, as far as especially, and we're going to cover this especially as a highlight today, that when we go through difficult times, we find out who our friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus, he definitely discovered some things, you know, because one betrayed him, one denied him, others abandoned him. And these were his closest ones.
Mm-hmm.
And ones that he had served his whole ministry life had turned on him. I mean, they were in that crowd even saying, crucify him, crucify him. Many of them were there. And he had healed them.
Mm-hmm.
He had delivered them. He had only done good. It said that he only did good. So let's talk about that, like in the, you know, because Jesus is our model, and he said, if these things, you know, if people treat me like this, they're going to treat you
mm-hmm.
like that. And it can be very disappointing when you're going through a hard time, like Job was another one. Like Job, you're going through this really hard time. You really need your friends, like Jesus in Gethsemane, really need his friends, they fall asleep. Really needs his friends in the courtroom, and they're gone, you know. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about who can walk with us and who should walk with us during these times.
You know, it's interesting because when people don't have a capacity to embrace pain because they don't believe we're supposed to have it, they automatically have to reject you when you're going through. And it's very easy to feel like they're doing this to me. And I've been there.
I've been there.
There are people that I really thought were going to be there for me in my season. And when they weren't, it devastated me. It just devastated me. They wanted to identify with me when they felt I was rolling high and moving in whatever. And when I went through my dark season, they disidentified with me. And I had to come to a place to realize that they couldn't relate because they couldn't face themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is, whether that's a shame-based thing or because their theology doesn't make room for it. It was hard to accept, but I had to discover mm-hmm. that it wasn't my issue, it was theirs. But then what shocked me was that people I never thought would be there for me
were
there. And I said to myself, I've never invested in these people like I did in the others. But they were there at a distance and were waiting for an opportunity to just let me know, hey, listen, we're not going to go anywhere. We love you too much. I think about that now, it makes me cry. But just,
that's awesome.
You know.
I know it's very difficult to walk through alone, and especially to be misunderstood by those that you think would know your heart.
Exactly.
And I really believe that some of you viewers are identifying with that, that you're actually going through a time right now where you just need your friends, but they're misunderstanding you, and it's so painful. And like, we understand that, and you just hang in there, because there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you know, Mark, a lot of times it's actually human pride, because it's easy to judge what someone's going through when you're not going through it.
Exactly.
And when you're maybe in your season of favor and everything's coming up roses, we all have those seasons. When you're in that, you think that everything you think is the gospel truth, you know, and there is no more, you know. And then you watch someone that's not in the same season as you are, and you're saying, oh, well, it must be this or it must be that, and we'll just, you know, walk away or whatever. And I think we've probably maybe all done that at some point in our life in different degrees. And it's just a stinking pride, but we'll all have our hours. I was sharing with a leader recently who's being really hit by another leader. And the leader that's hitting them is actually younger than they are, but they're in their season of favor. It's this young leader, they're in a season of favor. Everything's coming up roses. I mean, their ministry's growing, everything's going well. But the older prophet is going through hell, okay? Mm-hmm. So the younger prophet is persecuting the older prophet. And I mean, the older prophet just needs a friend, you know?
Right.
But I was comforting the older prophet just the other day, and I said, you know, you just have to love the younger prophet. We've all been in these positions, and they don't understand where you're walking right now. But they will, because we all have our day. I mean, the seasons change. It goes from summer to fall to winter, and then turns around to spring again. And in those seasons, we learn so much. And it's really important to be there for one another during the good, the bad, and the ugly mm-hmm. seasons.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, you know, the older you get, the more precious relationships become. And, you know, the older I get, the more I cry, especially when I think about the love of Jesus as it relates to mm-hmm. not just when he immediately loves me by the Spirit, but when I see him loving me through other people.
Right.
There's a lot of things I've had my 15 minutes of fame, and it's 15 minutes.
Right.
But I wouldn't trade the love I'm experiencing at this season of my life for anything.
Right. It's just so beautiful. The dealings of God and the prunings of God are so awesome. And I just feel like there's someone watching the program right now, and you're actually being convicted right now, because you have a friend that's going through something, and it's been a while. See, it's easy to be with them for a short while, but then after, it's a long season, because some of us go through long seasons, mm-hmm. really prolonged, of difficult things. Mm-hmm. And when it goes prolonged, then it's easy to want to give up.
Right.
And you right now are feeling like, oh, well, it must be because of this or that, and you've been withdrawing. And you're actually convicted right now, and the Lord just wants you to be a friend. See, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he doesn't give up halfway through. Mm. He's there to the end. And I think that as we're learning to love, like to become like Jesus is to become love.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to love, you know, learn to take every thought, if it's an unloving thought, to turn it into a loving thought. And I think that in these dark times, we get to understand humanity better, our own humanity and the way others react. That's why Jesus said he entrusted himself to no man, because he knew what was in the heart of man, but he never withdrew love from them.
Right. Even in his darkest moments, when all his friends forsook him and his enemies were cursing him, he said, Father, forgive them. I mean, we've turned that into such a religious thing at Easter, when in actual fact, it is so profound. He just... He couldn't stop loving. I mean, even, I think about this, Patricia, that, you know, that night of the Passover, the Last Supper, he took off his robe, girded the towel. It says, Jesus, knowing where he came from and knowing where he was going, took the meager, beggarly task of washing their feet because nobody else wanted to do it. But what really strikes me is that he got down lower than Judas because he loved him. He washed Judas's feet, and I think because he was, I know he knew that the son of perdition had, but I think somewhere in Jesus, in the divine human, this incredible God-man, something in him was daring to believe that maybe his love could prevail in spite of Judas's need to betray him. And so to me, when he washes his feet, he's not just going through the motions. He's pleading with Judas to see how much he loves him.
Wow. Every human being goes through these difficult times, transition times, dark times, challenging times. Every human being does. And you know, we get our share of them, especially when you're in public ministry. Right. You know, you're a bit of a target. So, you know, sometimes you get a little bit more in that sense. But, you know, I remember going through a season myself. It actually was about 10 years long and, you know, different levels and degrees of it. I wouldn't trade it for the world right now, actually, because it's where in that season I really learned to love. Before that, I said, oh, yeah, you know, love is my greatest aim. I just love your everlasting love. I want to love everybody. But I realized when I went through that transition how much of a love deficit I had, let alone how others were treating me. And it was just so beautiful in that season to take the opportunity to examine the life and the nature of Jesus Christ. And he has to be our model in these times.
Absolutely.
Jesus, how did you do it? How did you go through that time? How did you, when everyone was treating you bad, when you were totally misunderstood, when you should have been worshipped but you weren't worshipped, when you should have been adored and honored but you weren't, not even an ounce of it, and yet you not only forgave, but you actually gave everything, all that you are and all that you have. And so Jesus, he sowed in this time of darkness, he sowed love when there was no one to return it, just for the sake of being righteous.
You know, the kenosis, the self-emptying of Jesus, Philippians 3, it wasn't just something he did at the cross. It was something that he did from eternity past.
Right.
He kept emptying himself and his love into his Father, and his Father kept emptying his love into Jesus. So what he did for that 3.5 year period that culminated at the cross, that was consummated at the ascension, is that he kept emptying himself into the Father's love so that we could receive the overflow.
And if you don't quit, you win.
Oh, absolutely.
He never quit.
Never did.
In the midst of his dark time, he never quit. And so now, where is he?
He rose above it all.
Talk about the rite of passage. Talk about the rite of passage.
Yeah.
All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto him. And this rite of passage is where God is going to take you when you finish the course. If you don't quit, you win. Hang on to Jesus. You know, Mark Sharona's teaching on the treasures in transition is so powerful. So many nuggets of truth, that which will inspire you, electrify you, put good plumb lines on the inside of you. I really want you to have it. And the number to call is right on your screen right now so that you can order that item right now. And we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with more.
In this season of change and transition, the Lord is revealing hidden treasures deep within our hearts and spirits. Dr. Mark Sharona's Treasures in Transition reveals priceless prophetic insights for our future. Dare to believe. Order this 2-CD prophetic word today for only $10 plus shipping. Call 866-980-5464, television offer 313, go online at patriciaking.com, or text the word BLESS to 42828.
Mark, one of the greatest treasures that you can have in the midst of a turmoil period or a transition period is a really good friend. And of course, we know that we're to spend ourselves on Jesus because he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. But what are some of the qualities of friendship that we can walk in order to be a blessing to others in their transition?
Well, we know the scripture says a friend loves at all times. And when you're going through transition, you lose perspective on where you are, on who you are, and why you are. Your reason for being, your sense of where you're going, and your sense of who you are in your being. You lose perspective of all of that. Whoever you thought you were gets kind of thrown into this chaotic morass of confusion. And a friend can say to you in those times, I know you feel like that, but I know who you are. I know where you've been, and I can see where God's taken
right.
you. And I don't if you can't believe who you are, then just believe me right now that who you are is who I'm telling you, because God is telling me that's who you are. And I need somebody to mirror back for me
right.
who I am when I don't know
who I am.
Yeah,
because you can't see it at that time.
Exactly.
At all. And that you do that really well, by the way.
Well,
and you have helped so many people like that have had pretty devastated and wrecked places in their life during their transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And you call them back up into their place. And I want to thank you for modeling that so well.
You know, Jesus to me had no problem loving Peter. Through his,
right.
you know, I mean, when he gets up, he says to the angels, tell Mary to go tell the disciples and make, I know he denied me.
Yep.
I know he messed up, but
yep.
I need him to know. I got up and my father is his father. My God, that just does a yep. number on me. He loves him that much.
And even Judas, Jesus still calls him friend
exactly,
after he's betrayed.
Exactly.
Just
that level of love. I mean, yes, it is supernatural. But if we're in Christ,
yeah, we can
then
learn
it's
like
accessible.
That.
And yeah. I'd rather be there, and I'd rather love an enemy and be a friend to an enemy than not.
And Job's friends, they had a lot to say.
They sure did.
They had a lot to say, and we don't need friends like that in transition, and we don't need to be a friend like that to others who are in transition.
No, it's not about us fixing them. It's about us listening deeply and empathizing.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody says, you know, forgive me, I feel like crap. I feel like my whole life is worthless. Instead of saying, well, you shouldn't feel like that, you can say, you know, I remember when I felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
And come alongside them and let them know that their feelings are valid.
Mm-hmm.
Validate their feelings. They may not make the right conclusions, but you want to validate where they are so they can get to where God wants them to
right.
be.
Right. Yeah, listening skills are so important. In fact, James said that we are to be slow to speak, but quick to hear. And so often, like when you're going through a hard place, you don't really even want people's advice, and wow, do they ever have it for you.
Oh. Yeah, and I think that's probably the one. We step over people. We step on their words. We step on their feelings. And learning how to be present to them is probably the most wonderful gift a friend can give, is to be present, to totally present to the other person.
Right.
No agenda, just being present to them. That's love.
Yeah. What other qualities of friendship? Like, you know, if I was going to be a really good friend to a buddy who's going through one of these transitional, dark, confusing seasons, what other qualities would
I think
would help?
Learning the art of asking the appropriate questions, like listen for what they're saying and then build questions based on what the cry is that you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if they say, I feel so isolated and cut off, something like, how can I come alongside you and support you so you don't feel so isolated?
Mm-hmm.
Questions that will relate to where they are, but also invite them to be drawn out of
Very good.
Their isolation or their pain or their numbness or their ache. so that they can begin to explore what's going on inside, because we never die from having feelings. We get sick and ill and die from suppressing them. But feelings lie at the border between my conscious mind and my deep heart and spirit. And unless I touch my feelings, I'm not going to know what's going on in the deep. Mm-hmm. And that requires learning how to bring them to words. And for adults, kids do this all the time. They're very quick to let you know what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Adults, we get too mature, we shut down, and then we never get fully healed because we're afraid to describe what we're feeling.
Right.
So coming alongside and bringing it out of them.
Very good. Another thing that's coming to my mind just now is that when people are in a transitional season, they're very confused because, you know, it's like swirls in that season. And sometimes they can say things to you, even as you're trying to be a good friend. They can say things that make you want to withdraw because it's like, you know, you can feel assaulted. So you have to be very, very
thick-skinned
and just don't run because of that and be very careful not to take up offense or withdraw just because of someone being ugly in the moment. But, you know, there's someone out there you're saying, oh, I wish I had a friend like that right now. And you do. His name is Jesus. You might be watching this program, actually, and maybe you have never met Jesus as your personal Savior, as your personal Lord. But He's with you, with what you're going through right now. He has His eye on you. He's just waiting. He's like, what can I do to be your friend? I'm here. And, you know, He's knocking on the door of your heart, and He's saying, just let me come in, and I will come in, and I will sup with you and dine with you, and I'll be with you and give you everything you need. I'll be your help in time of trouble. I'll be your strength in time of need. And it's so simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. I turn away from all that turmoil unto you and trust you. Come in and comfort me. Come in and cleanse me with the power of your blood. Give me a brand new start. And if you from your heart just release that communication to Him, He will come in because He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And He wants to support you. In fact, He wants to support you all in this time. Now, Mark Sharona has a wonderful CD set. It's a 2-CD set. And it's called Treasures in Transition. It's powerful. And all the information to order it is on your screen right now. So go and phone that call center and order it right now because it's going to empower you. It's going to help you. And we'll be right back after this message.